Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, I've got a microphone, haven't I? But I'll stop here for a bit and it's over there. But anyway, I'm sure you'll hear me to start with. I'll put it on in a minute once we get going. Obviously, got a few away this week because it's a bank holiday, but nice to see you all here today. I'm going to start off by reading you a few verses from John 14, and we'll be looking at this chapter during the course of the service today. And our theme is about God's Holy Spirit and how he can help us in our daily lives. So I'm just going to read a few verses from verses 15 to 21 to start with. Jesus says this. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will love the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Just thank God for that reading to us today. And we're going to start by singing our opening song, "Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord."
Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we bring you our praise and our adoration, Lord, to you this morning, that we might give you all the glory, Lord, in our service today. Lord, we thank you for the words of that song, which echo, Lord, some of the verses from Revelation, Lord, where the people of heaven and the angels, Lord, are just standing around your throne and singing your praises, Father, forever and forever. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just acknowledge that we so often just like to live our own lives in our own way. Lord, we pray that we might just give you more praise and thanks, Lord, for the things that we do, that we might, Lord, just acknowledge your presence, Father, in the everyday activities of our lives. We ask, Lord, this morning as we come together, Father, that you might speak to us. Help us, Lord, to look at those areas of our lives, Father, where we just need to perhaps give you the honour more, Lord, to give you the glory, Lord, more, and less of ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bless each one of us today. Lord, may we know the presence of your Holy Spirit moving among us in great power this morning. May he speak to our hearts, Lord, to stir us up, encourage us, Lord, bring us together, show us your love, so that when we go from here today, Father, we might just take these things with us and apply them to our lives for the rest of, and particularly, Lord, in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you know, when Sandra and I met one another, I was helping out at a ballroom dancing class, and Sandra happened to come along, and my chat-up line was, "Would you like private lessons?" And of course, the rest is history. Now, I don't know, how many of you... Oh, yes, yeah, but oh, yes, I did. I'm looking for a partner, actually, yes, to be a bit more precise. I'm just telling this in my way, you see. how many of you do ballroom dancing, or anybody you can dance? Any? Oh, one or two people. Okay. Yeah? Anyway, so do you want to come out here? Now, I don't know... If you've met anybody who knows how to dance the cha-cha, it was one of our favourite dances. We often used to teach this one as a sort of a very basic one, because it's quite easy to pick up and to learn the steps of it. Now, one of the things was, I started to do some training towards becoming a ballroom dancing teacher, and of course you have to do a lot of theory for that. So, if you were learning to do ballroom dancing, just give you a few ideas. So, would you use a sort of a list of instructions like that as to what you'd have to do with your feet and everything on that? Or would you do it like this? I know some ballroom dancing places, they used to have feet all over the place to help people to know where to put your feet in certain places. Well, you might want to do it like this. Actually, I think learning it with somebody, with a partner, is much the best way to do it. But anybody like to come out? You knew I was going to ask that, didn't you?
I'm going to choose somebody. Martin, you can be my partner. Carol would love to.
Come on, mate. Would you like? Yeah, come on, the other camera will do it. Right, here we go. Right. So we're going to do.
Actually.
It's easier to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to do, we're going to get into what's called a Latin hold. So you stand a little bit away from your partner like that.
Yeah.
I'm like that to do that.
Can you touch
there?
No.
Right. So what we're going to do, we're going to do it very easy. So I'm going to step forward my left foot, and you're going to...
I'm going to turn round, because then Martha's going to follow me.
So it's forward, back now. Forward, back with your other foot. Okay. With the forward, back. And to side, close, side. Now forward with your foot, back, forward, side, close, side. Back, side, close, side. That side. Two, cha, cha, cha. One, two, cha, cha, cha. One, two, cha, cha, cha. Oh, you're doing it. One, two, cha, cha, cha. One, two, cha, cha, cha. One, two, cha, cha, cha. Brilliant! Very good.
Right,
don't put music on.
Yeah. Right. Hold on, that's in the way. What have you got on then?
Chat wheels.
Dun,
dun, dun. Best by doing things, don't we? Experiencing things. I know some people like reading books or whatever. We're going to be thinking this morning about how God's Holy Spirit can help us learn and to change the way that we do things in our Christian lives. Because God doesn't want us to stay static. He wants us to do new things, doesn't he? And to experiment and to do things perhaps that we've not done before. So today we're going to be thinking about learning through God's Holy Spirit. And we're going to sing a song now, which actually is to the tune of a cha-cha. So if you want to sing and dance along with it, we can do that. And guess what it's called? Teach Me to Dance. To the beat of your heart, teach me to dance in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
To love with
the heart of compassion. Teach me to trust
in the
word of your promise. Teach me to love in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life. Heaven and earth in you is joy without measure. Charting your sight, to your delight, made for your pleasure. Pleasure. Beat of your heart, teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Heart of compassion, teach me to trust
in the
word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. with all my movements express a heart that likes to say yes, but to obey you. Let all my energy blaze to see the joy in your face, all being praise you, praise you. Dance to the beat of my heart, teach me to move in the light of your spirit, to walk light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart, to dance to your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Cha cha cha. So we're going to carry on where we left off after the last reading that I read at the beginning of the service from John 14. So from verse 23 now, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, and that the Father is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Amen. We're going to be looking at some words in that passage in a moment or two, but before we do that, we're going to sing again, "Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God." Holy Spirit, living breath of God, bring new life into my weary soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn turns my strivings into works of grace. Breath of God, show Christ in all I do. The Spirit from creation's birth, giving life to all that God has made. Show your power once again on earth, your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise, lead us on the road to sacrifice, that in unity the face of Christ may be clear for all the world to see. I think I must be one of those people that likes to have a go at nearly everything, actually. And, you know, as well as ballroom dancing, I spent a few years teaching, and then I joined the Home Office as a civil servant. And I had a number of different jobs that I used to do while I was employed by the Home Office. I worked in prisons, I worked with the police, I did a spell working doing diplomatic relations in foreign countries and things, and lots of different things. One of the jobs that I had, and I did for quite some time actually, that I really enjoyed doing, was doing training, staff training. And I've got a great passion actually. I think sort of part of it is the sort of teaching thing. And one of the things we used to try and do was to help our staff to understand and to identify what their learning needs were. And every year we used to have what we called an Adult Learners Week, where we used to encourage people to learn new skills and to try something a bit different. We also used to have a bit of a debate actually whether the skills that people should be learning were very sort of work specific, you know, how to use a computer, or you know, how to interview people for jobs or that kind of thing, or whether just having some kind of any kind of learning experience. We also, our sort of favourite joke was, you know, is underwater medieval basket weaving a useful subject that you might be able to apply against a number of other jobs as well? And we came to the conclusion that any kind of learning was useful, and we all need to get into the habit of trying to encourage lifelong learning. You know, so everything that we do is a learning experience, and we learn and do something a bit different. And I think that's particularly true as Christians. You know, God wants us as his disciples to be learners, because the word disciple means a learner, doesn't it? You know, so we need to learn the things that God wants us to do. And this passage from John 14 today, I think, gives us some very helpful pointers as to how and what we should be learning. So I think I wanted to look at two areas today. So I want to look at what we should be learning as Christians, the thing God wants us to focus on, and how we should learn. So what and how. So what should we learn? Jesus, the first thing that Jesus says, and in verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." Now, Jesus isn't saying here that, you know, just because you follow everything it says in the Bible, you're automatically a Christian. It's the natural response, is what he's saying, is to becoming a believer. You know, if we're believers and we really love God and we really love Jesus and really want to please him, then the natural inclination of our hearts will be to do what he says. You know, Jesus often criticized, didn't he, the Pharisees, because they thought they were following all the rules and obeying all the laws that had been set in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, well, you know, it's not just about that. It's about loving God. You know, that's the most important thing that we need to think about. And God's given us his word, hasn't he? He's given us the Bible. And he doesn't want it to us to use it as a stick to beat ourselves with. But sometimes that's what happens, isn't it? You know, God sort of brings us up short and says, you know, we ought not to be doing this. But he wants, I think, his word to be something that helps us to love him and obey him and to do what he says more and more. You know, when we become Christians, we become a member of God's family, don't we? You know, we refer to ourselves as brothers and sisters. And it's that kind of relationship, I think, that God wants us to try and to develop. I remember when my son was a teenager, I used to go on and on and on at him about to tidy up his room. You know, he always used to leave it in a rubber mess of things all over the place, and you'd go and find under his bed, you know, dirty cups and plates and old socks and things. You know, I'm sure those of you that have had teenagers will know exactly what it's like. And we used to have a real battle sometimes, and eventually it tidy his room up, and we'd sort of get back to things. But the thing was, I wasn't going to throw him out of the house if he didn't do it. You know, we weren't going to have a more mighty row and everything was going to thing. You know, we talked through it and we got through the problems that we had as they came along. And, you know, that's the approach, I think, that God wants us to take as believers, as members of his family. God doesn't love us because we obey him. You know, just because we do what God says, God loves us in spite of that. But our obedience to God shows us that God loves us and we love God. So obeying God's commands and love, God's love and our love for God goes hand in hand. They're kind of, you know, two weights of the same balance. There was a story once about a vicar that was building a wooden trellis to support his roses, and a little boy came along as he was hammering the nails in, and the little boy didn't say a word at all, actually, but the vicar kept on going on and hammering the nails into this trellis to see how he was getting on. And, you know, eventually the vicar sort of wondered why the boy was standing there, and he said, look, he said, you know, are you trying to pick up some pointers on gardening? So the boy said, well, no, actually, I'm just waiting to hear what vicars say when they hit themselves with a hammer. And of course, that's it, isn't it, really? You know, people look at us, don't they? And they want to see whether our faith and our actions live up to the things that we claim to believe. And it's particularly crucial, isn't it, in our world today, that, you know, we should be people that people can look up to, and we can witness to people in that way. Because God says that he requires his people to be holy. Not perfect, because holy means set apart, doesn't it? God puts us in a special relationship with him to enable us that others might see the kind of lives that we live and be encouraged to come and to find and to put their trust in Jesus. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, as Christians, to kind of go along with everything else that's going on around us in the world. But God wants to set us apart, to be examples, to say, well, look, you know, this is what being a Christian is all about. So that's the what, if you like. You know, it's loving God's commands and obeying the things that Jesus wants us to learn. So what about the how? What about the how? When I was doing staff training at work, we used to have lots of debates really about learning styles and about the best way in which people learn. And generally the research that was done on it was that people learn in different ways, and that there are tools that you can use to find out what your preferred learning style is. So some people like reading books, some people, or listening to lectures and being spoken to about things. Some people like to experiment to do things on their own. And some people, are much more sort of intellectual and like to kind of think and cogitate on things as well. And I'm sure, if I went round today, I'm sure all of you have got your preferred learning style, how you learn things best. And the other thing that we found out was people learn consciously and unconsciously by experience. Our lives, in other words, are one continuum of learning. Whatever we do, it helps us to do, doesn't it? If you think about it, with children, they learn from a very early age. If you tell your child, don't touch the radiator because you're going to get burnt, and they touch it, they soon learn, don't they, that if you touch radiators that are hot, you're going to burn your fingers. And this is the way, isn't it, that we learn. There's things that we do that teach us very quickly some hard lessons as to what we need to do. And of course, in our spiritual life, the same principles apply, don't they? When we come on a Sunday morning, we normally have a reading and a sermon, and it's very easy, isn't it, to kind of come along, we sing a few songs, have a few prayers, listen to whatever the preacher's doing, and we go away and kind of forget about it completely until the following week. But God wants us to have that as a lie, so that we carry that, whatever we talk about, whatever we think about today. When you get home, have another look at the passage. As you're going about things during the course of the week, think about some of the things that that God's talked to us, that God's spoken to us about this morning, and to try to apply it to the normal, everyday things that we're doing. We all listen to sermons, don't we? If we listen to a sermon about, not slandering one another, and then after the service we go and have a good gossip about somebody else, we clearly haven't picked up the things that the sermon was all about. So God wants us to put into practice, to think and to ruminate on those things that we learn. And Jesus didn't leave his disciples on their own to somehow work out what they should do. When Jesus went back to heaven, he didn't just leave us and just say, well, you get on with it now, it's your thing. He gave them gifts. He gave them two gifts and two ways of helping them to learn. If you're anything like me, I always find it a struggle, really, to follow Jesus' teaching. We live in a world where there's lots of pressures, and it's easy, isn't it, to do other things rather than focus upon the things that God wants you to do. And people are very often prone to drag us away. Oh, why don't you come and do so-and-so instead of doing that? And Jesus knew that when the disciples were on their own, they were going to struggle. They were going to have areas and times of weakness, and that they needed some help to help them learn. So the first gift that God gave them was the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 25, he says, all this I have spoken whilst I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. There's often a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit, and people think, unless you've had some kind of Pentecostal experience or some kind of second blessing or something, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. But the Bible is very clear that, if we're followers, if we're believers, if we're disciples of Jesus from the very moment that our faith starts, God's Holy Spirit is with us. The week before the baptismal service, Carl and David and I forgot your name. June. We were all having a discussion about things, and Carl said, "Well, next week," he said, "I'm going to become a proper Christian." And we turned to him and said, "Well, no, actually, you're a Christian at the moment, you know." And it's this, isn't it? We sort of think we've got to do certain things before God accepts us into to what we are. But God's given us His Holy Spirit, you know. So the moment we believe, God's Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts and helps us through the various things in life. And he describes the Holy Spirit as a counselor or advocate. The Greek word has the meaning of a legal advocate, so somebody who like sort of represents you in court. In French, legal advisors are referred to as conseiller, you know, people that counsel you, give you advice, and God's Holy Spirit is there to help us and to advise us, to help unpack sometimes, to help us to understand some of the things that we don't really understand in God's Word. Those of you that have been for counselling know that a counsellor doesn't give you all the answers. They ask questions and things and try and get you to reach your own conclusions, for you to come to your own learning, to your own understanding of how to solve the problem. So, you know, we need to look at God's Holy Spirit as our learning facilitator, someone who helps us to understand what God wants us to do. You know, I'm sure many of you are, and I get very irritated sometimes when people tell me what to do. I don't like being told what to do sometimes, and I get a bit of thing about it. But at the end of the day, God's given us His Holy Spirit to tell us, to help us in a nice and a gentle way as to how we need to change our lives. He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. And I know sometimes when I look at my daily Bible readings, and you know, sometimes there's a verse or a few phrases that stick out and really kind of hit home, don't they? And you think, well, yeah, perhaps I ought to be following that advice, or yeah, something I ought to be doing. So are we listening to the advice and the promptings of God's Holy Spirit? The second gift was the gift of peace, the gift of peace. Verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I often wonder when we say, well, you know, we'd like the gift of peace, whether we quite know what it exactly is that we're praying for. You know, normally when, you know, we have our prayers of intercession and we pray for peace, what we're praying for is kind of cessation of hostilities, isn't it? That people will stop fighting one another. Or sometimes we say, well, oh, I wish I had a life of peace. In other words, well, I wish, you know, people didn't bother us and I could just sort of go along life, no problems, no worries, no cares, that sort of thing. But very often, those kinds of prayers are sort of not really, I think, what God wants us to think about. The Bible teaches us that time and time again, that nothing in this world will ever satisfy us, will we? You know, we're always hungry for something different, aren't we? You know, we're always moaning about this or moaning about that. You know, you get one thing, and then you think, well, actually, I quite like that thing as well, you know. And that's the way our human minds work. So I think Jesus is thinking of something quite different here when he's talking about peace. He's saying the peace that he gives isn't the same peace that the world gives. He's saying the peace that we need to have as believers, that we need to have as Christians, is an inner peace. a peace of conscience arising from the way that God has pardoned us, and you know, we're reconciled to him, we're part of God's family. And Jesus says, you know, that it is my peace. You know, we need to own our peace, don't we? You know, that when we go about life and we meet problems and things, we need to know that we've got Jesus there with us. We've got his Holy Spirit standing alongside us in all the situations that we do. And if we know that he's there, then, you know, we ought to be peaceful, haven't we? We ought to know that, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get sorted because, you know, God's there. He's promised that that's what he's going to do. So this gift, like the gift of the Holy Spirit, is one for all believers. All of us can have the gift of peace. You know, so let's think today, you know, have we embraced, have we taken on board God's inner peace? Because if we do, then our learning, our ability to change, our ability to follow what God wants to do, our ability to love him will get better, won't it? You know, and learning means perseverance, doesn't it? Very often you've got to keep on going. You know, if you're learning to ride a bike, for example, you know, it's not so much keeping going, it's learning what happens when the bike falls over and you've got to get up and start again. I was hopeless at learning to ride a bike. You know, my dad used to stand there with the saddle, and I used to wobble around like that, and he used to take his hand off, and I was on the ground like that. But I kept on going, and eventually I passed my cycling proficiency test. I was quite pleased about that at the end, and I don't think I ever went on the bike again after it, but that's another story. But all of us, though, seriously, face daunting learning experiences, times when we get knocked off course, and God wants to help us to get back upright again. That's what he's saying here. We need to ask ourselves, what is God teaching me through this situation that I've got? And the answer is that God sent his Holy Spirit to help us, to give us a hug and to put us back on our bikes, or to set us back on the things that we want to do. Some translations use the word comforter as well as advocate or advisor to describe the Holy Spirit. So it's different words, I think, can help us. You know, comforter, advisor, helper. You know, lots of different words, really, to help us, how God helps us every day in our lives. And of course, living a life of peace doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen, but it does mean that we're aware of God's inner spirit to help us to deal with those things. If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. God dwells within us. Do you believe that God is dwelling within you? That's the thing we need to think about. God wants every second, every moment of our lives to know that his presence is there, and he's there to help and to mentor, to counsel, to comfort us, whatever we need when things get difficult. And he will help us learn from them, he'll strengthen us and move us on to the next challenge that we have to face. So let's just listen to these words from Jesus again. He says this. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. Before we come around the Lord's table, we're going to sing again, what gift of grace, what gift of grace. Jesus, my Redeemer,
there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my love wholly bound to him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour he will stay. Labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. This I hold, been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. O fate I dread, I know I am forgiven, the future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled, suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. This I hold, my sin has been defeated, Jesus now and ever in my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. Said that he will bring me home. Every day I know he will renew me, till I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The race is complete, yet my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Not I, but through Christ in me. Before we come around to communion, let's just pray for one another, particularly for those who are going through difficult times at the moment in our fellowship. We think of the family of Carol Spence, for those who've lost loved ones, for Dillis, and for those who have got people that are unwell at the moment. So we pray for people like for Mavis and for others that are just going through a difficult time at the moment. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that you have placed us into a family, that we are brothers and sisters, and that you are our family, Father. Lord, we pray that we might try and be family-minded, Lord, that our relationships, Lord, with one another might be based on trust and on love, that we just, Lord, might help to encourage and to build one another up. And Father, we pray this morning for those who aren't able to be with us today. Pray for those who are away on holiday. Pray for those who are unwell. Those who are going through difficult times at the moment, Lord, and are really struggling with things that are happening. For those, Father, that have lost loved ones recently, Father, we pray for them. We just think, Lord, of our own situation. The things, Father, that we're struggling with at the moment. The things, Lord, that just seem impossible to solve. And I just pray, Father, this morning that we might just know your peace, that we might just know the presence of your Holy Spirit in the situations that we're facing. That he, Lord, might comfort us, help us, advise us, teach us. Just give us, Lord, whatever we need to move on and to know that he is there with us, comforting and just helping us, Father, and bringing us, Father, onto where you want us to get next. And Lord, as we come around the communion table now, we just pray that if there's any things, Lord, that are perhaps hindering us from taking communion, anything that might just be bothering us at the moment, that get it in the way, Lord, of our relationship with you or with one another, that you might just take it away and just put it to one side, so that as we come together, Lord, we might experience a real sense of fellowship together. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read some words to start. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim to heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. So I'm just going to read to you a few verses from 1 Corinthians, where Paul instituted the Last Supper, and he says this. He said, "For the tradition which I passed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest he took bread. And after giving thanks, God broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, 'This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" I'm going to ask Carol now to come and just give us a word of prayer of thanksgiving for the bread and for the wine.
Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Let us give thanks to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Thank you, Lord, for loving us so completely. Even when we let you down, you still love us. Thank you for forgiving us over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to struggle alone, that we have your word, your presence, your church, your spirit, and can always turn to you and you listen. Thank you, Lord, for the bread and the wine to help us remember your sacrifice. Please help us to love you more and to know you better and to serve you better. In Ephesians 1 verse 2, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you, give us, grace and peace. Amen.
So we're now going to share the family. It's a family meal, isn't it? That we're brothers and sisters sharing the body and blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." So as we distribute the bread, we ask you to take it and eat it as you receive it. After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we're going to drink together as a symbol of our family relationship with one another, that we're all part of God's family and that he died for us through the shedding of his blood, the blood of Christ shed for us. Thank you.
As we drink the wine together, let's just give God our thanks for what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the blood of Christ. Father, we thank you for this meal that we've been able to share together this morning. And Lord, when we go from here, Lord, we just pray that we might remember what the bread and the wine means. Help us, Lord, to think about the things that you have spoken to us about today, so that in those moments, Lord, when we're perhaps under stress, or those, Father, where we're busy with other things, you might just remind us and speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that we might know your peace this coming week. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn together. Lord, for the years your hand has guarded and guided us. Together, shall we, and say to one another, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.